Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. It's been very good to spend a little time with Joshua and reflect on the way that he was ready, nervous but ready, to step into the responsibilities that God had for him. And in the previous program, we took a little time to just reflect on the fact that one of the main resources to Joshua, giving him courage and strength and to get him ready for the task, was that he was able to meditate on the Word of God. Today I just want to give a little bit of time to just helping us see from the Scriptures that God is truly with Joshua. If you ask the question, was God with Moses? Well, of course, there were a number of things that went on that clearly illustrated that. You remember that time when he was able to put his hand inside his cloak and he brings out the hand and it's leprous and he puts it back under the cloak and brings it out and it's clean. And clearly that something was going on. God was with him. And his rod, how he could pop it on the ground and it turned into a snake and he could pick it up and it turned back into a rod. But perhaps one of the major things that always people remember is that the way in which when the Egyptians have changed their mind, they're coming back in numbers, they look as if they're going to overtake and crush the people of God who fled and come out of Egypt. But Moses stands at the Red Sea, raises his rod, and the Lord opens the Red Sea. They cross, and when they've got across, the sea folds back, and Pharaoh and his soldiers and charioteers, they're all drowned. At least the soldiers and charioteers are. Well, Joshua is going to see something happen in Joshua chapter 3. That, again, just makes it so clear God is with him. When they have assembled themselves and Joshua has a sense of the timing of God, he says to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions, you're to follow it. And he says, tomorrow, what's going to happen is the priests will stand in the water and they'll stand there with the Ark of the Covenant. The water will dry up and people will be able to go across without flood waters engulfing them and drowning them. And that's exactly what happens. The priests move out with the ark, and as they stand in the water, the Jordan dries up at that place, and the people are able to cross easily without any difficulties at all. And what they do, in fact, is they're told that they're to take a stone and to stand it in the Jordan, a stone for each of the 12 tribes, and these will be a sign of God's hand and the miracle that he did. And remember, we're not talking about a handful of people, we're talking about a very large number of people, thousands of people who are going to make this crossing. The Jordan has been often referred to as a picture of going through death, getting to the other side into heaven and life. The Jordan has been sometimes cited as an example of our baptism, where we are buried in the water, we die to sin, and we come out of the water alive in Christ, a picture of Christ's death and resurrection. Certainly, if the people had any doubts whatsoever that Joshua was God's man and the one to lead them, well, when they saw the Jordan dry up that day, they knew for sure this really was God's man. We need to simply obey God. We need to know that he can do for us what he's done for others. Maybe not exactly the same, but the same authority that God has can be invested in you and me as we trust in Jesus. Well, we're going to listen to some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me. We'll just reflect a little bit more about this amazing day when the Jordan parted.
Lord, when I remember my orphaned heart, I felt no worth, struggling for direction. You sought me out and brought me home. I'm standing in your presence. Now when you look for me, you'll find me in my Father's house.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Joshua chapter 3. Richard, you said when we started looking at this book of Joshua that, you know, Joshua had quite a big task on because he was taking over from Moses, who was such an enormous character and personality in very many ways. And Joshua had to take up the reins. And so we have something here which is a parallel, in a way, to the one that Moses experienced when he crossed the Red Sea.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they're both in a situation where there's a clear barrier. As far as Moses is concerned, the Egyptians are chasing from one side. He knows that God is wanting the people to be safe, but there's a barrier, it's the Red Sea.
Mm.
And Joshua is aware that if he is to move from where he is to make the first steps into the Promised Land, there's a barrier, the river. How do they get across? And the story is that God overcomes the barrier, whether it's the sea for Moses or whether it's the river for Joshua. Barriers come down when you're in the will of God.
What effect do you think this would have had upon Joshua in terms of his leadership, but also in terms of how he felt himself about the role he'd been given?
Well, he must have been very excited. I cannot see how he could have felt otherwise. Humbled, but excited. Because he would have realised that this was supernatural. Of course, there are people who try to explain this away and talk about there was a sort of a minor sort of earth movement that blocked the river at one point. But all of that is pretty hard to believe, because why should it happen at that specific time and place?
Mm.
No, God was doing it. And anything that can only be explained by God has to thrill our hearts. If we can talk it away, there's not a lot of joy in that. But he knew there's only one reason that this is happening. God is in it.
The Jordan, of course, the River Jordan, has always been significant. It even is today, because, you know, there are baptisms which take place in the River Jordan, just as there were in biblical times. Why do you think it has that significance?
It has the significance because of its unique place in history. It simply was a place where God had moved and things had happened. And the symbolism of it is very powerful, and the reality of it is very powerful. The fact that Jesus himself was baptized in the Jordan makes it very special. But I think that we shouldn't get over sort of enamored by the physical place. It's the presence of God. And we may not have a Jordan in the country that we live, but we have the same God who's able to overcome whatever barrier is seeking to prevent us doing his will.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the Word of God in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.